right. It's that time. You know what time it is. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Friday night.
Yes, it is.
Taking it easy out here. One from Jersey, one from D.C. It's called The No Chaser with JT and Mac. Mac is the host, and we're going to bring him on right now. Welcome on, man.
Hey, what's happening, man? What's happening? What's happening?
All right, all right.
All the listeners out there, man, I'm glad you guys tuned in this week. Hope you all had a great week. It is the end. You know, it's the weekend. Let's enjoy it because it goes real fast. It didn't go fast last weekend, but it does go fast this weekend because we don't got that extra deck. So,
right.
I would like to start out my show by saying, you know, I'm a veteran. I don't know if Jerry is, but I just want to say to all the veterans out there, man, hey, look, happy Veterans Day. I really forgot last Friday to say that. So for this week, I just want to say thank you to all the veterans out there who serve our country so we can enjoy the freedom to act the fool and do all the other stuff that we do. And to be here on this radio show, being able to do my own radio show and say what I need to say and have the freedom to say it, I just really honor and respect all the veterans out there. I just
That's
want
right.
to say that. I do want to say that. I want to start off by saying, you know, hey, JT, I hope you had a great week, man. I really do. Your man Obama getting beat down, man. He done messed it up. He done messed up bad. And he won't say too much else, but, you know, like I said, I ain't seen too many Democrats out there talking too much, except the ones on the Hill, of course. All I'll say is, man down. Don't come get him. Get him. But that's all I say about that for this week. I ain't gonna belabor or lay nothing on the man. I kind of actually, surprisingly, kind of feel sorry for him. Kind of. Not all the way. Kind of.
yeah. Okay.
I mean, well, you know, you got to be responsible for what you say, man. You can't go out here and saying what you can't make promises and, you know, do some other stuff and then try to blame it off like, nah, I ain't do it. It was their fault. Like, nah, dude, you said it.
Mm-hmm.
You said it 20-some times. You can't deny that. And now you're trying to fix it. And, dude, that's big damn near impossible. But okay, I'll let you wing at it some more. But anyway, what I wanted to say is one of the things I wanted to get into and talk about, number one, was, you know, I had a talk with one of my friends. One of my friends on Facebook, and we were having this debate after the Kentucky game the other night. I don't know if you saw those games. It was Kentucky versus Michigan State, and it was Duke versus Kansas, and there was all these, you know, these big-time freshman college players. I'm going on record right now, and I've been saying this all along, that in March, Kentucky's going to be a problem. They're just going to be a problem. And everybody seems to dismiss it. Like, okay, I can dismiss it all you want. But the only thing I'll say about it is this. I'm a man who believes in, I say it like this, and I don't know if you know this, Jerry, but I'm a man who likes individual players. I like it. But I love teams. I love the mismatch. Being a coach, I love the mismatch. I love a whole team. To me, sometimes on Facebook, I don't know if you ever see it, but sometimes I put on there beautiful basketball. Beautiful basketball is like beautiful boxing. If you watch Mayweather, you see beautiful boxing. You see the technical aspect of it. You see the brilliant movement, the precise punches, and the accuracy, and you see the slight movement and the speed and quickness. If you are a boxing aficionado, whatever you want to call it, you're a person who's really like a boxing buff or whatever I guess you want to call it, you know this beautiful boxing or what's not. You know, it's not about the blood and the guts and how much you can knock a guy out. You like the whole work of it. So I look at it in basketball terms as I like teams. I like teams and I like mismatches. I like to see a team. Beautiful basketball is seeing a team clicking together, getting back on defense, moving the ball. Just beautiful basketball and just overwhelming the other team because they can't catch up. And the other night was Monday. Kentucky played Michigan State. Kentucky has all freshmen, just about. And this team is really good. And they were getting beat pretty bad by Michigan State. At one point, I think the lead was like 15 points. And Michigan State has a more experienced team. They have a couple freshmen, but they have a lot of juniors and seniors. So they were playing, you know, their normal physical style basketball, you know. And they can really run now. They got some speedsters on their team. So they were down 15. I mean, Kentucky looked totally out of it, just looked all terrible. This freshman team, I'm telling you, first time being on national big-time TV, came back and only lost by two. They walked Michigan State down. Of course, most of this young generation now, men in their 30s or 20s, you know, they're so stupid. And I don't pray to say it. They're stupid. They jump and get all giddy about individual players.
Mm-hmm.
I keep trying to explain to them. I keep saying, I said, look, I just want to – let me see if I can bring this up real quick. And I'm going to look on my thing, and I'm gonna let you know. I'm going to let you know when I find it. But anyway, people miss the whole thing that Kentucky walked down an experienced Michigan team. These guys are all freshmen. They walked them down and cut a 15-point lead all the way down to four. With like, 40 seconds left? And they came all the way back and worked it down and almost won the game. They almost won the game if they hadn't had this for – if it wasn't for turnovers. So, as I said, it's just one of those things where they walk them down. But most people miss that. They don't see that. And so people are writing Kentucky off. Or they'll say stuff like, yeah, Kentucky, all right, yeah, okay, they'll be good, you know, in March. Yeah, of course, we already know that. But they don't realize how good they are. So,
can't hear you.
I'm right here. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm away from it. I'm on my computer and it's not near the phone, so I'm kind of like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I just wanna. Yeah, okay. Here we go. All right. I want you to hear this lineup. Okay. This is what they have. You ready? Can you hear me real good?
Sure.
They have James Young. Forward, 6'6", freshman. I'm sorry. 6'6", freshman. Aaron Harrison, guard. 6'6", freshman. Jerron Colson, 6'2", senior. John Hood, senior, 6'7". Andrew Harrison, the twin brother of the other guy I just told you, Aaron Harrison.
Right.
6'6", about 215 to 218, freshman. Okay. One plays the point, one plays the shooter. Okay? You got
right.
Sam Malone, a junior, 5'11", 185. You'll probably never see the point. All right. Willie Cauley-Stein, forward, sophomore, 7 feet, 244 pounds. You have Todd Layton, guard, 6'2", junior, senior. I'm going to name the freshman. Let me go to the freshman. Let me stop wasting my time. El Floria, 6'3", freshman. Now, here's where it gets good. Dominique Hawkins, 6 feet. And then you have Julius Randle, the guy they just saw the other night. Everybody was raving about it. He's a man. He's 6'9", 250 pounds. He's a freshman.
Wow.
Brian Long, 155 junior. Then you got another 6'9", Derek Willis. Then you have Jakari Johnson, freshman, 7 feet, 265. And Marcus Lee, freshman, 6'9". You got a 6'9", 7 foot, 6'9", 6'9", 7 foot, 6'6", 6'7", 6'2", 6'6", 6'6". Slim, they got the biggest front line in college basketball. Even the analysts were talking about. Let me tell you something. Let me be on record the same. When these dudes get it, when they get what Calipari teaching them, and unless you're watching Wildcats TV on YouTube and you listen to Calipari, no, I'm serious. If you listen to Calipari's press conference and listen, you can learn as a coach. You can learn what you teach them. And the funny thing is people don't understand. PC, people, all they see is the glitz and the glamour, the run up and down, the throw, the alley-oop, and all that stuff. But they
right.
don't understand what he's teaching them. He's teaching them basic basketball, like playing
right.
every play
right.
on the floor, passing
right.
the ball, moving the ball.
Well,
playing defense, get back.
Before these games were played, I saw a clip of Calipari, and he said that that people are talking about my team, but my team is not that good right now. I don't think they can beat Michigan State because they're not playing. They're playing as individuals and not playing as a team. That's basically what he was saying. From what you're telling me, I didn't hear it, but from what you're telling me is exactly what seemed to take place. They're playing more as individuals and still haven't got it because they're freshmen and they were the man used to getting the ball all the time. Now they got a bunch of guys that are the man on the team and have to play in a team concept.
Exactly. And let me tell you, and that's why I told everybody, I said, dude, they're the best team in the country. I just want you to understand this. Calipari has eight, let me say that a word, eight McDonald's High School All-Americans on his team. Eight of them. Of those guys I named you, eight of them are McDonald's All-Americans. Let me tell you something. They don't make teams like this. Let me tell you, when they learn, I wish you had seen the game. I really do. Because if you had seen that game, you would have been like, oh, man. You could have seen. I mean, but like I said, you got to be a college basketball junkie. All the youngins was discounting the game, and we're like, hey, we just want to see Jabari Parker and Wiggins. I'm like, dude, you can have Jabari Parker. You can have Wiggins. But here's what you don't understand. Jabari Parker can't beat a team like Kentucky by himself.
No.
He's not that good. A guy like Wiggins can't beat Kentucky by himself. He can't. Because you're going to have to defend a seven-footer. You're going to have to defend. You understand you have to defend 2 6-foot-6 guards? Do you understand how over 200 pounds? Do you understand how hard that's going to be? They can fly here up and down the floor. When they learn how to use their weight and their body to blow past the dude, they're going to be a problem. You can't stop guys like that. But see, the people who are all giddy about Wiggins and Parker, they just be like, ooh, this guy is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm like, yeah, but what he got around him, though? Because unless you're telling me he got 4 or 5 with him, I'm like going to a fight, and I'm fighting 8 guys, and it's this one guy, and he's like, man, this is so-and-so going to be there. Yeah, but they got 8. Like, what you talking about? You can't beat all 8 of them.
Right.
If you tell me you got the best guy and you got 5 or 6 behind you, okay, I might give you a chance. But I'm telling you, come March, by what I told you, think about it. If all that's playing together, who's going to stop them? Do you imagine the mismatches? There's going to be mismatches for games at every position. You got a 6'9" Marcus Lee that is a power forward.
Right, sure
Julius is. Randall. Wait a minute, you got Julius Randle who's 6'9", 250 pounds. That, the other night, he literally put that Kentucky on his back. That's why they closed the gap. He is a monster. He is a man playing among boys. Them dudes couldn't do nothing with Julius Randle. When Julius Randle learns how to put the ball on the floor and make a quick move and stop holding the ball and getting the strip, he's a problem. I just sat there and was like, dude, you got to be kidding me. So I'm just telling you, I'm on record. When March comes, if I'm in Vegas, I'm laying the money on Kentucky. They're going to be a problem. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't see a team in the country right now that if they're clicking and learn what Calipari teaches, I don't see a team out here that can beat. I don't. I just don't. Because it's mismatches. And I see everybody will sit and say, yeah, but if they don't get injured, I'm like, yeah, we already know that. But I'm talking about if they're healthy in March and they are clicking, man, they're a problem. They are. That is not, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't want to see them coming to my gym. Not that big. They're the biggest front line in college basketball. You got a 7-footer, 2'6" guard, a 6'9" power forward, and a 6'9" small forward. All freshmen. That's crazy. Like, think about it. Who's going to match up with that? How many people got 2'6" guards to play the other guard? None. Most of them
not, not too many. Yeah, not too
right.
many,
Most of them
if any.
Niggas, and you're going to have a problem with that. Right. How many forwards you going to get at 6'9", 250? They don't come like that. So at some point, he's going to have a mismatch. You're going to have to pick up some weight, get in the weight room. Because you could be 6'9", but if you ain't at least carrying 240, you're in trouble.
Right.
So my thing is, I'm just saying, everybody's getting giddy about this, but the one, this leads me to my next point, which was about Wiggins. And, you know, we were having, me and my friend were having this debate about it. And he kept saying that, you know, it's foolish for, I guess the rumor is that Wiggins was offered $180 million to play, like to come straight out and come, and go play basketball or whatever.
Yeah, but he can't do that, can he? I thought they couldn't do that.
Well, technically he could, because he could bypass college. He could just decide, I'm not going to college. Take the money, go play overseas for a year, whatever, whatever, and then come into the league.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah, you can't just come straight into the league from high school anymore.
No, you can't do it. You have to do 1 year,
yeah,
at least 1 year.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just saying, you could have got $180, $180 million, went overseas, you know what I'm saying, and then come back over here, and boom, he bumping. So he was just saying that, my friend was saying it was stupid, and he was trying to say, like, you're taking advantage of kids. And we had this debate, and I'm just so sick of people sitting here acting like, this all takes me back to the Trayvon Martin thing. It's like, why do you guys act like a guy who's 18 years old is such a child? But yet if he goes out and robs a gas station, he goes to jail. He doesn't go to juvie. He goes to jail. He goes to prison. If he goes out here and shoots somebody, he goes to jail. He goes to prison. If he gets, if he decides he doesn't want to go to college, he can go to war, go overseas, and get his head blown off. And no one would think the wiser. It's, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is, I try to tell him that I don't want to hear this thing about it's foolish for people to do it. Look, at some point, a child becomes a man, and at some point, a man has to. And you know, he was trying every way to win the argument. He was like, well, you know. But his, you know, he may be mature outside, but he may be immature in his head. I said, okay, so what you trying to say? You trying to say, what, he'll blow his money or he wouldn't be wise? I said, shoot, you got 40, 50-year-old people hitting the lottery and getting broke. So what's the difference? There is no such thing. You have to make a decision, and you have to back that decision. If you fail, you fail. That's the risk you take. And I'm just sick and tired of people acting like you're 18 years old, and then it's like, oh, these big bad people are taking advantage of this little bitty 18-year-old kid. And I'm like, you're not a kid. At what point do we say, okay, now you can make a decision by yourself, and it's okay? And I'm just sick of that. It doesn't make sense to me. Like I told him, I said, if Andrew Wiggins takes $180 million and decided to go off somewhere, let him go. It's not foolish for a team. I told him, I said, it's free market capitalism, baby. I said, if somebody offers him, and Prince I was talking to, in fact, he plays basketball overseas. And I was telling him, I said, okay, if somebody offered you $180 million, 18 out of high school, you would tell me you wouldn't seriously look at that? You wouldn't seriously look like, I'm not a rich kid, $180 million, what could I could do with that? And I can go play basketball and do what I will do for three or four years, and I can get the money now? Somebody don't take it. I mean, he may not, he didn't, obviously, but I'm saying, what if he did? And I'm just saying, for me, I'm just sick and tired of people acting like, it's foolish. He said it was foolish for the company to do it. I'm like, why wouldn't it be? It's a risk on their part. It's a risk they were willing to take. It's a free market. If the market calls $180 million, he can get it. Let him get it if he wants to. He's a grown man. Now, if he was in high school and they were doing this, I'd say it was wrong. But once he's 18 years old, he can vote. I mean, he can drink. No, he can't drink. I'm sorry. He can go out here and get any. I said, okay, so what's the difference? I said, what's the difference? And that's when we broke it down. I said, what's the difference between him deciding I don't want to go to college and I want to go work at McDonald's? Or I want to go work. You wouldn't think nothing was wrong with that. You probably think it's a little loopy, but you wouldn't. But you, what would you say? That's wrong? Because, oh, man, it's wrong for him to go to McDonald's and work. I said, but it's wrong for him to take $180 million and do it. And he was like, well, what if he ends up being a bust? Or, you know, what if he ends up, you know, being broke? I said, that's the risk he takes. Grown man. Y'all take responsibility. So all I'm trying to say is, you know, for all you people out there bleeding hearts for all these kids in college, I have one thing to say. If you don't like the fact that they're being offered money, then pay them. If you don't want to pay them, then look forward to this happening all the time. Because there are black kids coming from the inner city who have talents and skills, who are coming from broken homes, bad homes, homes that ain't exactly cool, barely getting by, and they have a skill. They want to take that skill and use it to get out. And I don't blame none of them. When you're 18 years and over, you have a choice to make. If you want to go straight from high school and go overseas and then go to the league, do it. The risk is yours. You're grown. But, you know, I just think, and then we got into the whole thing about paying players. I told you my feeling. I believe they should pay the players. Now, of course, everybody cries about, well, if you pay all of them, what you pay all the athletes? I said, yeah, but see, the difference is two things. Baseball, very rarely do you have career-ending injuries. Very rarely in baseball. I think I'm pretty safe in saying that. Golf, you don't have career-ending injuries. Volleyball, you may get a concussion anyway, going to the net, whatever, but we don't generally hear people becoming crippled from those sports, okay? Swimming, you don't find anybody having any problems with that, okay? You don't. Football, violent collision, violent hit. Your career could be ended on one play.
Absolutely.
Basketball could be ended on one play. One play, one twist, one fall, you never return, you never come back to your full self, you could be out. Okay? Those are the two sports, to be honest with you, among all of the sports that make the most money. So I think that every athlete in college should get paid? Hell no. Do I think baseball players should get paid? Nope. Because ain't nobody banging on the door. Ain't no 14 playoff. Ain't no national broadcast. They bringing in billions of dollars. The SEC, college football, they make billions. They're stupid money. They're making stupid money. And look, and they're getting ready to start, or what is it, a 14 playoff next year?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be stupid money in that, okay? But yet these guys go out here and risk their lives and risk their future careers playing football for a school. Do I believe they should get paid? You damn right they should. Do I believe that basketball players should get paid? Yes, I do. You want to know why? Because at any time they can get hurt. I'm tired of people sitting here telling me, well, they're getting a free education. I don't care. It's a free, okay, so you give me a free education. I get 4 years. Who's to say I'm going to be good at what I go into? I can do something else. I know they're not dummies. I know they have opportunities because those degrees get you an opportunity. That's fine. But what happens when you give? But see, this is where everybody loses it at, and this is where I get mad. What you're not understanding is the 4 years that I play in college, I'm playing for nothing. For a diddly squat. I'm getting an education. But that education is not going to pay me as much as my talent will pay me. Going into the NFL. When I go into the NFL, I'm an instant millionaire. When I go in that top 10 or that top 20 of that draft, you're an instant millionaire. Instant millionaire. You are not poor anymore. And 9 times out of 10, you won't be poor the rest of your life. Not 9 times out of 10 unless you mess it up during the thing. But in the immediate future, you're not looking for any financial, you're not looking for money. And my thing is, people say, well, you can have opportunities because you have a thing. Yeah, but it's not going to pay the same. And the thing is it fair to tell somebody I'm giving you a free education? And you're not and your education you're giving me is cool, but really what I'm going to make the millions at is off my skin. But you've blown it. You basically had me play for nothing. I blow out my knees. I break my leg. I do something. Now I don't have anything. And now you give me a piece of paper on the way out the door and say, thanks, man. Thanks for serving. Great. And that's it. And so I'm saying, why don't they get paid while they're in college? I told you what my solution was. You pay them a certain stipend, a certain percentage of the money that comes in. There should be off of jersey sales, off of whatever. It should be a tier. If you come in and you're a big draw, let's just take an example. It's Alabama. I'm Alabama, number one in the country. I'm playing for Alabama. And let's say we know who the players are. And let's just say A.J. McCarron. A.J.
Uh-huh.
McCarron is playing football. He's playing quarterback. He's the
sure.
reason why they come and see you, okay? You got the running back. You got the offensive line. These are the reasons why they come to you. They come to see them. They don't come to see Saban. Saban got his money. They love Saban, but he's really not the draw. Draw is the team, the action on the field. Those guys should be paid a certain amount based on all those Bama shirts, all that stuff that's sold, they need to get a percentage. Think about it. All the money they're generating off this, you telling me you can't pay somebody 1%, 0.5%, and it still be a lot of money? I'm not saying give it all to them like while they're in college. No. I'm saying put it in an account that nobody can touch. Nobody. You put it in there, you can't touch it. You draw a certain amount per month. Let's say, for instance, let's just say every player gets $1,000 a month. That's $1,000. I think any college kid can live off $1,000 a month. I think you can go to a movie, buy some pizza, go out and have fun. It's enough to have fun with, but not enough to get into trouble. Get what I'm saying?
$1,000
a month. Let's just give an example. But yet, let's say in the kitty, there's $3,000 the first month. Then, as a certain amount of time, you give them more money. If, and the longer you stay, the more money you make, the more money you get. You see what I'm saying? So if you do it for 1 year, guess what? You get whatever they account for 1 year plus whatever you collected. In the 1 year, guess what they do? Here's your money. Have a nice pro career. Now, if anything happens and he doesn't go, guess what? I still get that money. I still get the money. I walk out the door with a piece of paper, and I walk out of there with some money. At least I have something to start with, okay? And so I guess what I'm trying to say is I just don't believe, you know, that these people sit and complain about these players, you know, getting offered all this money. I'm like, it's going to happen until you start paying the players. And I just believe they should. I mean, there's no reason why you can't tell me they lose their amateur status because they're getting $1,000 a month. That's the same as them getting a student loan. They have an extra money. But why should it be a loan? Why can't it be the money they earn every time they get down on that field? Why shouldn't they make money off their image, off their number being sold on a jersey without their name on it, so they can get by without paying them anything? Everybody knows if it's a certain number, they know who the player is on that team. Everybody knows. It's not a joke. Come on. If you see Archie Griffin's number, you see a high FA jersey with Archie Griffin's number on, you don't have to have a number on the back, do you? You don't have to see his name on the back, do you? Because you know who it is. Right, exactly. So all I'm trying to say is, you know, I was telling my friend, y'all need to pay the players. And if you got a problem with that, the only way you guys are going to cut this stuff out. Now, that doesn't mean $180 million still ain't going to entice a kid to leave. Because I'm pretty sure the college not going to give him that much. But at least he can say, you know what, I can hold out and wait a little bit longer. I don't need that. You know, I'm getting some money off, you know. Because Wigan's going to sell a whole bunch of jerseys. Jabari Parker playing for Duke. After that night he had the other, trust me, Jabari Parker's numbers is selling off in jersey. Okay? Julius Randle for Kentucky. Julius Randle, Kentucky jersey with his number on it are selling as we speak. Hoodies are selling. Shirts are selling. And these kids get nothing. And if he go blow out his knee, guess what they say? Thanks. So, you know, I just believe they just need to start. They just need to start. You know, they just need to start saying that. Man, I just think they just need to start doing it and just stop. The next thing I do want to talk about is this Matt Barnes thing. I was just looking at it today.
I'm so glad. I wanted to bring it up, and I'm so glad you're going to bring it up. Talk to me, man. Go ahead.
Well, from what I hear, let me just say this in the opening, and I'm going to let you say what you got to say. How I feel is this. I didn't know. I didn't see the game. I didn't see what happened, but I kind of read on it after. And from what I understand, I guess they got into this shoving match, and he stood up for his player or whatever, and the Ibaka was going to hit him, blah, blah, blah. They stopped it, squashed it, whatever, whatever. And then from what I understand, Barnes, he put out this nasty little tweet about, I ain't sticking up for these NIGE niggas no more, and all it does is cost me money. Well, people took exception to the fact of the N-word being used. Now I read on ESPN today that basically he told reporters the word is used in the culture, it is what it is, get used to it, basically. That's what I use, that's what I do. I shouldn't be yelling on social media, but I use it. Now, I will say this. I respect him for saying what he said. I don't respect him because he apologized, because the apology really, what you just showed, was the apology really wasn't sincere. You only apologized because somebody put pressure on you because you got caught and people freaked out about it.
Okay? Exactly.
But you didn't really apologize because you really meant it. So you really shouldn't apologize in the first place. That's why I get picked up with these athletes about apologizing. Because I'm like, you speak out of your heart. You say what's really on your mind, and then you power off of it. I hate that. I'm like, live with what you say. You know, if you really believe that, then live what you say. Let the firestorm be what it is. So the only thing I'll say with you is this. Is he right about what he said today about the N-word and all that stuff? You know, my thing is, for me, it's the truth. Do I think the N-word is okay? No, it's not. Absolutely not okay. Have I used it? Yes. Do I use it at times? Yes. Sometimes I use it to slip it up. It's not prevalent in my speech every day, all the time, every other word, like some of these young kids out here who actually make me cringe sometimes. It's like, you don't realize. I said, they don't even realize how many times they say the word in one
time. Right.
And I'm just, I mean, I don't know if you ever had this, but have you ever been somewhere, you could be in a Walmart or somewhere, and you hear the person in the other aisle, and you hear them talking, and you're almost embarrassed to be black because they're talking and they're saying it, they're all loud with it, and they're just saying, man, you know, you know, Nig this, Nig that. Hey, Nig, hey, man, Nig. You know, that dude did da-da-da-da-da, man, and that end did this, and that end did, and you just be like, really? You really going to do that? To me, that's as embarrassing. That's as embarrassing as a white guy riding up into a gas station with his music blasting, and it's black rap, and it's all saying the word N-I-G-G-E-R. That kind of stuff makes you just cringe. I'm just like, really, you really going to play that in a gas station, and you're white, and you're driving your car, and you're blasting music? So what you going to say? Oh, that's just the music. I didn't say it. Come on, man. You got to represent what you're saying. People don't play stuff that they don't like. They just don't. So anyway, long story short, I just think Matt Barnes should have said what he said, stood up for it. He shouldn't have deleted the tweet. He should have said what he said. And he should, the statement today, I would have respected him more about what he said today if he had left the tweet up and had said, I'm not apologizing for it. I said it. That's what I meant. You know, he got fined for it. So to me, it's like, if I'm going to get fined for it and get, or get suspended, I might as well go ahead and say it. Might as well go and be truthful about it. What else going to happen? So that's my statement on it. But I think he was wrong. You know, but I'll let you sound off about it because you probably saw it. You probably have a different opinion, or you could.
No, I didn't see it. But let me put it this way, and this is the God's honest truth. I never ever use that word because there's a lot of connotations and a lot of history behind that word, and to have black people, I don't care who it is, use that word is. Accepting that word for one, okay, letting other people, other races, hear you say that word, it's saying that it's acceptable, and the fact is it demeans your own people for the fact that you're saying this word, when the word in itself is quite naturally a racial slur. And it's meant to demean you and put you down. So in a sense, when you use that word, you're putting yourself down, or you're putting whoever you're talking to down, because you're using that word in a sense. And it's desensitizing that word when you say it's commonplace. Everybody uses it. Matt Barnes said his friends and family use it. It's a regular word to me. Well, he must not know the history behind the word, for one. A lot of people died to prevent people calling you that name. A lot of people put their lives on the line to prevent whoever uses that word to stop using that word, because you're supposed to have pride in who you are. And that's taken away from your pride, taken away from your people, because the fact that you use this word as commonplace. And just like this incognito, they think it's a commonplace thing. You know, it's a shame. It's a shame that this day and age, with these young kids, use this language day in and day out and have no idea what it means, because they hear people on the radio, people on TV use the same word and think it's the word to use. Instead of a proper word, use the N-word. Makes no sense to me. I cringe. I look. I said, you know, let me put it this way. There's two words that I absolutely do not like. The N-word is for one, and I correct my friends when they call a female the B-word. I do it all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
I do it all the time. There's two words that I really, just like you run your finger on a chalkboard, that really grind me, the N-word and the B-word. I don't say either one of them, and I correct anybody who, for the most part, and you know, I say, you know, you can use another word. You don't have to use those words.
That's true.
This really riles me, because, you know, this guy uses it, and it just so happens. This happened this week, and over the last 2 weeks, this incognito thing happened, and it's come to light. It's come to fruition that this is a commonplace thing that people use to supposedly show affection to one another, which is BS to me.
Well, only thing I'll say to you is this. Only thing I'll say to you is this, is what you said is absolutely right, but I will say this. you know, it's not a secret among black folks that we've been, I mean, I've heard that, that word's been since I first heard that word in elementary school, you know, and, you know, when you first learn how to cuss, of course, and you get around kids, you start repeating words, and you hear something really like this and that. So it's always been a word that black people have always used with each other. Do I think it's time to retire the word? Yes, I do. Do I think it's time to stop it? Yes, because you're absolutely right. I do believe that what's going on is that people are using the word, and they're using the word, and they're using it in the wrong way. Because what's happening is we use it one way, a white person says it, and because of the history, because we know at least that much of the history, where it started. I think a lot of us do know the history, but I think we just have a double standard, and I think it's one of the few things that we do that I think is a double standard that we do, it's okay to use the word amongst ourselves, but, you know, you can't use it, you're not allowed. Now, do I think it's smart for any? Do I think that's fair? No, I don't. Do I think it's smart? Definitely not. You know, but like I said, you know, I heard a guy today, when I think it was yesterday or the day before, he was on the radio, on the sports talk radio here in Washington, D.C., and he was saying how he's like, yeah, he said, incognito thinks that word's okay. He thinks that's acceptable and safe for somebody. He said, why don't you go on down here in Southeast D.C. and say that? Going down by, you know, he was saying where certain places were. He said, go on down there and say the word down there. Yell it out. You see what happens. See if it's just a word that's just okay. He said, you know, go say that there down there. And he was right.
But my thing is this. Okay, he's saying for this guy to go down and do it. Okay, he goes down there. Does he use the same word? Let me put it that way. Okay? That's the problem I have, because the fact is, when people of other races see you use it, it desensitizes the word, think it's okay to use because you're using it in so many ways that, you know, it takes it out of context of the way you shouldn't use it at all. And that's the problem I have.
But I guess what the guy was saying, no, but I knew why the guy was saying it. He was just saying, he wasn't saying it like, I want you to go. He was just saying, you think it's such a light. He was taking it from what he said in the interview. Like, oh, you think this is just normal? This is commonplace? Oh, it is? He was like, why don't you go say it over here? Why don't you go say it over here? He was just saying, why don't you go say it there and think of it as, and it's not. He's saying it's not commonplace. That's all the guy was saying, that it's not an acceptable word. Go say it over there and see if you accept that. Because the guy says, well, among our, because he was going off the context of what Incognito said, among our teammates, among our culture, that's what we say.
Because his black players that are in the locker room are using it. So they're using it in so many different ways, and it's like commonplace for them to use it. He thinks it's okay to use. He think, well, I'm one of the guys. I can use it too.
But I'll be honest with you. I don't think, and I'm gonna say this, and I might be wrong. I could be. I do not believe that Incognito goes in that locker room and says that out loud. I don't. I believe that was all text, and I believe that was between him and Jonathan Martin. I do not believe that he was in that Incognito was in that locker room with mostly black players that sat in there was going in. I don't believe that. I just really don't. I'm sorry. Call me crazy. I don't believe he did that. I believe he did it by text to Jonathan Martin, and they did it back and forth. But I doubt very seriously if he came out, was calling Jonathan Martin that word in front of other teammates, even when he was hazing it. I don't think that ever would have went by. That I don't think. But do I think that they use it to each among black players, use it among each other? Absolutely. I believe that. Do they hear it? Yes, they do. Is it desensitizing the word? Yes. It encourages them to think it's okay. Because the first thing a white person says is, if they can say it, why can't I say it? That's not fair.
Yep.
That's a double say. I've heard them say it.
Yep.
Man. I'm going
yep.
like, And I've had to tell people who are white, who are my friends, to say, let me tell you something. Do I think it's fair? No, I don't. I said, do I think you should say it just because everybody else says it? No. Because the difference is, you can't do it. Whether you think so or not, you can't. You can't use it like we do. That's just life. That's the way it is. That's how it is. You can reason it. You can be mad at it. You can think it's not fair or whatever. I said, but you cannot say that word around black people, any old black people. You can't do it. I said, because you're not black. I said, and I don't know why. I don't know any other way to tell you, but that's the way life is. Everything's not fair. I said, you know, you can do things that we can't do. You can go places that we can't go. I said, I don't sit and wonder why I can't go in the house with those people over there and they're racist. I don't want to be in the house with them because they're racist. So if I'm sitting over here saying a word that you think is not, that you don't want to say, you know it's not right to say, why would you want to say it? Why? Just because you want to say it? You don't even understand what it means. So I agree with 110% what you're saying. And that's why I know lately a lot. I've been working that out of my language. In fact, sometimes when I say it, God kind of reminds me, like, really, what did you just say? And I'm like, okay, my bad. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. You know, now I don't say it often to anybody or anything like that. Sometimes I use it even when talking to myself about certain things. I'm thinking, and I'm like, you know what, I shouldn't use that word. So I'm getting out of the habit of dropping that word. But I can tell you this, though, here. Let me predict this now. The Incognito and Martin thing and this Barnes thing on top of that, let me tell you, get ready, America. The locker rooms in professional sports is going to change.
Oh, absolutely.
There will be no longer gangster rap and crap and cussing and all that stuff in locker rooms. There will no longer be cursing and using the N-word and the F word and F-A-G and the F-A-G word and certain words ain't going to be tolerated. The locker room is going to be a place where you can come in there and laugh, joke, talk, whatever, but you better be pretty clear. You better be pretty clear because teams are going to start finding you. The league is going to start finding you. And here's what I don't understand. This is what I don't understand. If I am a popular athlete, I'm paying someone to do my Twitter and my Facebook. I'm not doing it myself. I'm selectively putting it on myself unless I know how to control myself.
Uh-huh.
But I would, anything on there, here's what I would love to tell a lot of these athletes. If you don't say something, stand behind it. Don't delete it. Don't apologize for it. I just wish somebody would just say, this is what I said, that's what I said, and that's what I'm doing, and I'm not apologizing for it. I can live with that. Now, you know, but this whole saying something and then apologizing for it, it's so phony. It's like you really don't mean it. You're saying it because you have endorsement. You're saying it because you want your paycheck. But that's really how you feel. And every time a player does that, you know what I hear in my head? Whatever, with all the issues flow from your heart. What's inside you comes out of your mouth. What you really believe comes out of your mouth. It says guard your heart. The Bible says guard your heart. And the heart means, in Bible sense, means your inner man. It says guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Comes out of your mouth. And these people really mean this stuff. I know they mean it. Now, some things are in the heat of the battle. Some things are in the heat of the moment you don't mean. I can understand that, too. But when you get rejected from a game, you go on to it and you say that. You delete it. And then the next day, you thank yourself. You're going to have to get over it and just accept the slur. I'm like, really? Why did you do it? Then why did you delete the tweet? Why did you apologize? You might as well just went on and said, I ain't apologize. You just apologized because it was on social media because you got caught. But my thing is, why didn't you think before you did it that you didn't think you were going to get fined $25,000 for that? You didn't think you were going to get fined or suspended for doing something, saying something like that? This is crazy. And then you just had a guy the other day, J.R. Smith or somebody, was defending their brother when the guy who used to play for Milwaukee, the point guard.
Brandon Jennings?
Yes, Brandon Jennings questioned if somebody's brother, I think it was J.R. Smith or somebody's brother, did he belong in the NBA?
Right.
And he kind of did a threatening tweet towards Brandon Jennings. And we were kind of joking. I said, well, I got my money on Brandon Jennings because he's from Compton. So, you know, I know Brandon Jennings. I've met him before. And I was like, I know the dude. The dude is, you know, he's a cool dude, but he ain't said nothing. And so we went to talking about that, but it's almost the same thing. It's like these guys don't learn their lesson. Like, dude, hire somebody to do your Facebook and your Twitter. Like, stop. Hire somebody and tell them, be your conscience. Do you really think you should put that out there? What do you think is going to happen when you put that out there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really need to, athletes need to think about that. But, yeah, you're right. The N-word, we got to stop using. mean, we just got to stop using. Jason Whitlock wrote an article today, and I got to read it in connection with this. I don't really like Jason Whitlock because I think he's, me, myself, I think personally, I think he's a race hater. He always thinks everything is about race or everything is about being black and blah, 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 and I don't like people like that. So give me an honest answer and tell me that it ain't always got to be about black and white. But, you know, like I said, I mean, it, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I'm glad I brought that up to you because it seemed like something that was really, you know, close to you that you really didn't like. So I know it's kind of like it was embarrassing.
Let me tell you something. I had the article up on my laptop, and if you weren't going to bring it up, I definitely was going to bring it up because when I read the article, and the article you're talking about, Jason Whitlock, is attached to the same article on ESPN. Yeah. I haven't read that article, but when I read it, and my mouth dropped open. I couldn't believe I was reading these words on this. Like it was like you have no clue of what you're saying. You have no clue what you're saying when he says that.
He's telling the truth, but you're right. He doesn't understand the context of the word and what you said about it, desensitizing it, saying it, getting rid of the word, how it makes people feel, and whether it's a term endearment with us, it's embarrassing because they look at us and go like, well, shoot, they use it, don't bother them. You know, it only bothers when I say it. You know, And I understand where you come. I understand where you're going with that, and that's why I said I understand. My whole thing was, you're absolutely right. My whole thing was even bigger than that was like, okay, well, why did you apologize? I mean, if you're going to say what you just said about that, why justify it? If you're going to justify it, then why don't you just stick with it?
Well,
you tell people it is what it is. No, because he basically told them it is what it is. This is how we talk. This is what we use. It's in music. It's in rap. It's in all this stuff. So, you know, it's here to stay. So what? So my thing was, why would you then apologize for it? Why don't you just, if you think that that's okay and you're giving that excuse, then you should have never, then you never meant your apology.
Well, you know, he's making millions of dollars, and he's representing a team, so he's got to go that politically correct route too. I understand what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. I'm not saying it's right.
Don't say what you just said because what you just said just. So here's my thing. So you didn't care about the team. You didn't care about your risk. You didn't care about political because the next day you just contradicted what you just apologized for.
Well,
you just made an excuse a while ago. Okay.
I totally agree with you. I mean,
he talked
out both sides of his mouth. So
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my point. We gotta grow up, man. But I'm gonna tell you, athletes better enjoy it now because I'm gonna tell you right now. When the NFL gets done with this investigation, when the NFL finds out what really happened between Martin and Incognito, you might as well let me tell you something. 5 to 10 years from now, me and you, JT, will be talking about remember where this all started. And it all started here, and then Matt Barnes has added his 2 cents on the cherry on top. And now what we're going to have, and then here's the thing. Players are going to get mad, but you know what? I'm telling you, the day is coming. The NFL, college, all these people, they're going to start regulating Twitter and Facebook. I mean, they're already scouring people. People already scour you. You know the media. They're looking at your page the whole time, and every time you put something on or anytime something happens on Twitter or Facebook, what they do? They blow it up. National news.
Sure. This
on Facebook and Twitter. And my thing is, here's just what we got to understand, is that we have to stop. We just have to start watching ourselves. You can't just keep doing what you want to do. I'm telling you, there's going to be and you know what? Players are going to whine and complain and moan and groan. And you know what I'm going to say? You know what? You should have policed your own locker room. You should have policed your locker room. Because when the inmates can't police yourself, guess what? Now the big boy, the bosses come in, and they start regulating it. And then you don't like it. But like I said, an incognito's whole thing, nobody stepped up and was a leader and said, hey, look, man, knock it off. Because the kids just sit and tell me that nobody knew anything about what was going on between them two, whether they knew or not. The fact of the matter is, as soon as that man left, I don't think that man just walked out and nobody had a clue. Like, hey, why did he leave? Somebody knew what he happened. Somebody knew what happened. Somebody knew who was getting hazed. Somebody knew what was happening, you know. So my thing is the locker room and the environment now in all professional sports is going to change, especially in basketball and football. It's going to change. But there will be no more of that. There's going to be no more. Look, remember when they first got mad because the NBA started making guys dress up? You couldn't wear t-shirts anymore with long gold chains up? Guess what? Now the locker room is going to be, you ain't going to be in there using the N-word. They're going to tell you what you can't do. Watch. We're going to have to start, when you come in them rookies, guess what they're going to tell everybody? They're going to tag it, they're going to say the N-word. Can't do this. You can't threaten people. You can't. It's going to turn into passive locker room. You can't say anything. You can't say anything threatening or violent to another guy. Or I'm like, put in their head. But you know what? They made it this way. They made it this way. With all that rap music, you think they're going to play rap music now? You think they walk around using headphones now? What you think? How many headphones you think? Now, how many times have you seen the tape? Haven't you seen the report? They're in the locker room, and you hear rap and stuff being played in the locker room while they're in their interview, and you can hear it off in the distance. Those days are gone. If it ain't appropriate, they're going to cut it off. Nope, can't play that. You're going to be using earphones. I mean, you just can't have it anymore, and it's too bad. But remember, Barnes, Incognito, and Martin, sounds like a law firm. Those three have now regulated your locker room. They're going to regulate your locker room now. Cause it to happen. And it's a shame because the locker room used to be a place where you did what you did and that was it. But now it always takes one idiot to take it too far and then it ruins it for everybody. It's like in school, you'd be ready to go outside and y'all get outside and one guy has to always do something or say something and y'all got to go back inside. And you'd be like, dang it, man, why don't you just shut up? And this is what's going to happen. These guys are going to look at this. And, of course, I'm telling you, they're going to come out and be like, this is ridiculous. The NFL is a no-fun league, and you can't do this. And I'm like, but y'all made it that way. Y'all ain't stepped up and be leaders. Do I believe that every NFL locker room is like Incognito in there? No, I don't. But do I believe that those words and those things are going on in every locker room? Yes, I do. But some to a certain degree, just like the bounty game. Nobody was in there shooting and killing. Nobody was in there trying to hurt people or do things to people. Nobody knew what Greg and Williams and them were doing until they got found out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to say that every NFL team does that. Because if they caught you, they would have caught them too. Nobody just gets away with that. I believe it goes on to a certain degree, but y'all just took it too far. That's the point. You guys took it to a whole new level. Y'all took it and made it a complete program for all 16 games. Some guys might have been like, hey, you hit this guy, I'll take you out for a beer. We'll go out and get a cold one or get some steak, something like that. But you don't go in there and have a whole program, and people throwing in money and $10,000 in their hat and stuff. That's crazy. So, with that being said, man, that was one thing I wanted to really bring to your attention. And, this is just crazy. Yeah, I can't believe they're actually, condoning this stuff. And, they think it's okay. I don't understand it. So, the other thing is, your Houston guys let go of my man.
Ed Reed. He's with the Jets now.
Oh, the Jets picked him up?
Jets picked him up yesterday. He's with his old defensive coordinator, Rex Ryan.
I thought he was going to actually end up being with Baltimore. But I'm not surprised he's with the Jets.
So when Baltimore said that, in so many words, Harbaugh said, we don't want him.
Wow.
Maybe not exactly like that. He said it more graciously, but he pretty much said he's not coming back here.
Wow. I'm surprised at that because I thought they had a good relationship, but I guess I don't know. But you know what? That could be. You know why? That could be because I was gonna say that could be because what do you call it? That could be because he signed because he didn't. Remember, because they offered him money and he didn't want it.
Mhm.
Okay. It could have been because you beat Buckner. Maybe that's the reason why. So don't come back to us now when you ain't got nowhere else to go. So, and that's good for him. Being in with Rex Ryan, that's a comfortable place. He'll be fine. As long as Rex keeps his job, which looks like Rex might keep his job and get an extension. The way that Jeff
is going. Unless they fall completely apart, I can't see him not staying there. So.
Yeah, they're on the right track. They just got a lot of. They got a lot of injuries. They got to do something with Mark Sanchez because I think Mark Sanchez is over. I think he's done. I think he's about toast. I think he's going to go somewhere else because I think that boy took his job. Even though he's not as polished as Sanchez, he moves the ball and he throws and he's mobile. And he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't keep in the same stupid mistakes that Sanchez does. He just seems like he's better, better suited. So, Not that Sanchez ain't gonna get a chance. I hope it's fine for Sanchez. He made a lot of money and he's gonna go somewhere else and be and get some more money. So I think Sanchez is a backup. I don't think he's a starter. That's just me. That's just from what I've seen. I just think it's a shame that a guy like Sanchez gets screwed up all the time and all these guys and you got Tim Tebow who hasn't gotten a shot. A full year shot at all, period. But hopefully he'll get it. I don't know if he will or if he won't, but I think it's a shame that he did. And I mean, other than that, we just gotta be done. So I would just tell everybody out there, man, look. My last statement on the radio today is, we're gonna have. First of all, I want to make some closing announcements. One is we got a lot of guests coming up. I don't know if you can see on my Facebook, but we have a lot of guests coming up. We have the professor on next week. I think next week's the 22nd. Yeah. Next week's the 22nd. We got the professor coming on straight off the plane from being in China for over a month.
Okay.
We're going to find out what that was like. I didn't send you the Spider-Man one, and I got to send that to you. They're on YouTube under the professor live. But I'll send you, I promise you, I'll try to send you the link. But he's coming. Got Tim Lavin is coming. He wrote a book called Walk On You about walk-ons in college and what it's really like, which I think is great. The book's on its way to me. I'm going to try to skim through it before then. He comes on in December. We also have your man Brian Chase is coming back. I just still signed him up.
Okay.
He's for part two. Remember, we supposed to have him on for part two. He's over in I think he's over in Italy. And so I finally got him on Facebook, and he's sealed in. He's coming on in January. He'll be our first guest in January. We also have my man Lonnie Southall, who's a friend of mine, who is actually the security director for Bruno Mars. He's off on tour with Bruno Mars right now. He's going to be on with us also. Straight to the League is coming back on also in the end of December or January. They have a new line coming out. They'll be back on also. So we have right now five or six different people, groups that are coming on. And so we're going to have a real good way. We're going to bring in the new year just right with a lot of guests. So gear yourself up, Jerry, with questions and things like that. And I do whatever I can to enlighten you and get you going on that. But got a lot of guests coming. My last thing I want to say is, for me, I think I can speak to Jerry when I say this is that, I do this radio show and I have fun with it. And we do a lot of arguing back and forth on politics and we talk about sports, talk about a lot of things, but I'm trying to give this show also music to bring awareness and bring a lot of things out. And look, man, whether you're black, white, Indian, Chinese, whatever, we need to get rid of the nigger word. We need to get rid of that. We need to stop using it every day in our language, whether it's a term of endearment or we play around with our family, we got to stop. It's not a good word. The word is a negative word, no matter how you say it, even when you use it.
No matter how you say it or who you say it.
Who
says it?
Yeah, no matter.
It's a negative word.
Right, it's a negative word. And we just got to stop using it. So, I'm just asking everybody out there this week to try.